I should have finished an hour ago.
If you don't like it... What was that?
Call the police.
Hi. Yes, ambulance, please.
For God's sake, Eleanor, we don't need an ambulance.
The duty manager, Gareth Moss, and one of the kitchen staff, Elena Vassilou, found him. They were in here when they heard the crash.
Driving licence says he's Maxwell Stephen Foley, 46. Home address is outside Macclesfield somewhere.
20 miles away. People check into a hotel if they're too drunk to drive or having an affair.
This guy's dropped like a stone.
Accident?
He cracked the top of his head on the next balcony down, room 508. There's hair, skin, blood on their railing. He spins and he lands sideways on the bins. See what paths here, but I'd be amazed if he was conscious when he fell.
Already dead.
I think the body was in transit. Maybe it was flipped over on its way into the service lift. That's the service bay to the laundry there.
The lift's just through that door.
The assailant is picking the body up and tipping it into a laundry basket.
He gave me £50.
Who did?
He said if I don't take the basket up to 608, he will tell the authorities.
Who was this, Asadi?
It happened all the time.
DCI Stone asked you a question.
I didn't look what it was, but it was heavy. Very heavy. If you're illegal, you do as you're told and don't ask questions.
Who gave you the money, Asadi?
The kitchen porter. Terry Quinn.
Please! Please! Please. No one knows! Terry Quinn, are you under arrest?
Or not. That's a door curtain, Mike. It looked like someone moving.
Kitchen clear!
Bedroom clear!
Did you think he was wearing a kaftan?
Bathroom clear!
He might have been.
Not judging by this lot.
Are all those drawers full?
Looks like it.
Box is on the radiator.
He was in a hurry.
Maybe he hasn't gone.
Oh, he's gone, all right. And he's been back here first.
You sure?
What can't you see, Mike?
I'll need a clue.
What if I said I don't think Terry's too handy with a duster?
Which leaves a good few shiny envelope shapes on the mantelpiece.
No post. No bills, not even any junk mail.
I reckon there were some pictures just here.
Fridge magnets on the floor.
No sign of a Wi-Fi router. If he was accessing the internet, then he was doing it through a mobile.
So he's left his smalls, but taken anything resembling a data trail.
This is the same guy who just dodged a DNA test. It doesn't make sense.
Get forensics in here. He's got to have missed something.
Boss.
Oi! What's going on?
Have you noticed anything unusual recently?
Apart from you people smashing the door in?
Mr. Quinn is wanted in connection with a very serious offence.
You only had to knock at the shop. You know, the big butcher is just downstairs.
To be fair, Mr. Ibrahim, your shutters were down.
But I was cashing up, doing the accounts. Look, this is my property. I have nothing to hide.
You can put in a claim for compensation.
Look, there are no terrorists here. Okay? If that's what you're thinking.
I'm not thinking that.
But that racist who runs the hardware shop over the road, he will be. So if you can let him know, it would be most appreciated.
Have you seen Mr. Quinn today?
I saw him go off to work, like usual, this morning.
Has he been back?
I doubt it. He does long hours.
If he came back during the day, would you know?
Well, I can hear him moving around upstairs, yes.
And have you? Today?
Well, not exactly.
When was this not exactly?
About 2 hours ago. Shop was busy, but I went out into the yard as soon as I could, up the steps. Had a look through the door. You get a lot of break-ins around here. A lot of break-ins. You want to write that down?
Was this a break-in?
No. No, it was definitely all locked up.
So what do you think you heard?
Thin walls. Sometimes it's next door. The kids are very noisy.
Does Terry have people staying over?
But that's his own business. But I've never seen anyone.
No visitors at all?
There was a girl once, but she didn't stay over. She was young, too young for him. I thought maybe she was his daughter.
Describe her.
20, maybe. Pretty. I didn't really get a good look, but big curly hair.
Have you ever seen this man?
No.
Did Terry ever mention someone called Max Foley?
No. I've never had any trouble with Mr. Quinn.
How long has he been living in your flat?
3 months. Maybe 3.5. He's a good tenant. Very quiet. Never late on his rent.
Do you know where he was before?
The tenancy was arranged by a homeless charity. I like to do my bit for the community.
Any paperwork you have would be really helpful.
I can't believe Terry has done anything wrong. He took my son to the Macron to see the match for his 16th birthday. I was working. If it had been a decent team, I might have been jealous.
Get my message?
Yeah, but I didn't fancy a takeaway.
Okay.
I made that tuna pasta thing we used to have. There's some in the oven if you're hungry.
Yeah, starving. It's okay, I'll get it.
You know that shop in the Northern Quarter I like?
The really expensive one?
Yeah, well, there's like this amazing pair of shoes in there. I think I could get my whole outfit for Sue's wedding.
Whatever it costs.
Well, they've got a sale, but it finishes tomorrow.
It's fine. If you can't get there, I'll give you the extra cash.
Well, I was thinking you could, I don't know, pick me up from school.
Sweetheart. Look, I know I promised to be around for you more, but I just have to get this case ticking over. It's going to be a busy day tomorrow.
Of course. Yeah, it's okay. It was just a thought.
Anyway, you don't want your dad hanging around like a spare part while you're trying to get yourself some cool threads.
Cool threads?
Well, do you?
No, I suppose not.
It smells delicious.
And was it?
No, it was dry, and I think she'd put half a jar of nutmeg in it or something.
Plus, you'd just had steak pie and chips with me and Mike.
Don't forget the mushy peas.
It was really sweeter, though.
Tuna pasta bake was one of Kat's favourites. I never liked it when we were together.
But she made it, and you ate it, John. That's the point.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, so first up, what do we have on Terry Quinn?
One bank account, nothing dodgy that I can see, but it's only been open since last October. No credit cards, no passport, parents dead, no siblings, no driving licence, and he doesn't own a car. Basically, no photo ID.
The invisible man.
He was long-term homeless, it's hardly a surprise.
Or he's changed his name.
He's got the weathered skin, the knackered voice, depression written all over him. He's not been living in a penthouse.
There's nothing on the PNC under Terry Quinn, but we'll get a better idea once we get his DNA from the flat.
Get back to the Beresford. Someone has to have a picture on their phone. Check out his NI record.
On it.
He's been working in that kitchen for 3 months. Get whatever you can. Snippets, anecdotes, when he picks the fluff out of his navel.
Ooh.
Let's build a portrait. Right now, the only thing I know for sure is that he supports Bolton Wanderers.
No wonder he's depressed.
Sorry, that's my team.
All right, his landlord saw him with a young woman. Long, dark, curly hair. Who is she? Okay, Max Foley. Anything on the Range Rover?
Only that it's recently had its front windscreen replaced. There's a chit in the glove compartment dated 4 days ago.
Sat-nav history?
Nothing that doesn't fit with his business. Depots, industrial estates, offices.
Have we found his phone details yet?
Sorry, boss.
You're missing something. There's no way someone like Foley doesn't have a listed phone.
We've got him on CCTV in the Agristar Indian restaurant making a 15-minute phone call. Looks pretty intense.
What time?
9:15.
Which puts time of death anywhere between 11:15 and 12:15.
We've got him visiting 4 other hotels prior to the incident at the Beresford. Then he's down in Pints in the Abbott's Arms for 4 hours before he heads off for that curry.
Sounds like he was looking for someone. Or something.
And he found it at the Beresford.
So what was it?
Vicky Foley was fine about letting us take Max's computers. And we've got 8 boxes of very entertaining paperwork for DC Tolliday's team to plough through.
What, Bolton Wanderers? Let's hope they do it better than playing football.
Oh, yes, everyone's a comedian.
Come on, focus. We're talking about a murder victim here.
I've said we'll get out to Macclesfield as soon as we're done here.
Let's do it. Was anything troubling him? Did you sense there was anything he wasn't telling you?
You're assuming Max is that deep? Sorry. Was that the wrong thing to say?
A lot of ex-servicemen have PTSD that can remain buried for years. It can affect their behaviour, the decisions they make.
And Max did tours of Bosnia, Iraq, Northern Ireland?
Loved every minute of it.
Sierra Leone, Afghanistan?
Not every soldier leaves the forces a broken shell. You've been watching too many documentaries.
Actually, I come from an army family myself.
Well, it used to really piss Max off.
My dad was a chaplain with the Second Staffs.
Probably bumped into him at some point. Max knew everyone.
He left the army 10 years ago.
Take a look around you. What do you see?
It's a beautiful house, Mrs. Foley.
We own all of that. Everything you can see, right up to the cops.
Impressive.
And the villa in Spain.
I've seen pictures. You've got your own tennis court.
The only reason Max left the army was he wanted to give himself time to do something else with his life. And what Max wanted, Max got.
It's not unusual for people in business to make enemies.
Well, Max didn't do enemies, even in the army. I mean, if you've got to shoot someone, then you've got to shoot someone. Yet if he thought someone was in the wrong, he'd say so, no uncertain terms, but he was always up front, not one for grudges. The only thing he didn't like was disloyalty.
Can you think of anyone who'd want to harm Max in any way?
God's honest truth? No. Well, apart from the Lampers.
Lampers?
Poachers, yeah? So all that land up there, the other side of the fence, that's ours, yeah? But we rent it to the farm next door. Jeff's got a load of deer and they graze on our land and there's some game birds and all in the copse.
I see.
So you get badger baiters and stuff who do a bit of lamping when they're done killing badgers. They've had 3 deer in the last few months and Jeff, who we've always got on with, he's saying it's ours who's responsible for security. I said to Max, that's bollocks. But Max says, it's fine, he'll sort it. Anyway, he rings me last week, says he sat in the cops all night and scared 7 degrees of you-know-what out of him.
Do you have any names?
Toe rags? Oh, as in the toe rags who come and smashed in the Range Rover the next day? I don't know what Max done about that, but the local lads, Scouts, they're not going to be doing stuff to people in hotels in Manchester. I mean, we all know what he was doing there.
What do you think he was doing there, Vicky?
What do middle-aged men normally do in hotels, detective?
You think he was seeing another woman?
I was fine being an army wife. He was away a lot, of course, but the times I spent with the other girls, it was a party, especially before Harry was born. We had a choir. You know, like on the telly? Though we didn't have that Gareth thingy teaching us, so it was a bit rubbish. I only went for the booze-ups.
And after Max left?
Well, we moved up here to be near his mum, before she died.
I hated moving all the time when I was a kid.
But I never minded. Everyone was in the same boat, so get used to making friends quickly. Someone told me it's a bit like being an actor, only not as gay.
How do you know it isn't?
Sorry?
Nothing.
Thing is, up here, there aren't that many that understand. On that whole Cheshire thing.
Is that why you spend so much time out in Spain?
I learnt pretty early wasn't exactly interested in monogamy. Like, seriously not into monogamy. He put on a few pounds, but he was a good-looking little charmer. I could have left him, I suppose, but I didn't seem worth it. I mean, why waste all that money and heartache on a divorce?
If you weren't happy.
He said he didn't mind if I had affairs.
And did you?
Where do you think I was when the guardia came looking for me? I've spent the last 8 years telling myself I didn't care.
Have a tissue.
Mrs. Foley, if it's any comfort, we're as sure as we can be that he wasn't at the Beresford for anything sexual.
Vicky.
No, no. Don't you dare feel sorry for me.
Very quiet, Sue.
Have you ever known anyone who was genuinely happy in an open marriage?
Blokes usually are. Is that sexist?
I've no idea.
Oh, hang on. Remember the old super?
Cliff Morrison.
Word was that him and his missus were swingers.
Seriously?
No, she was really into it, apparently.
Oh, stop.
He had to put his foot down because it got back to constabulary.
I don't want to think about how that happened.
Jolene's not into all that, is she?
God, I hope not. Breathe, Sue. Breathe.
I thought about what you said.
About walking me down the swimming pool?
I'd love to. It'd be an honour.
Oh, that's fantastic, John. Thank you. I've spent my whole life thinking that getting married wasn't a thing. But now I am, I've realised it is. It's enormous. Hi, Jolene.
Her ears were burning.
I wish. I'm on the roof of the Berry Spirit. It's bloody freezing up here.
What did she say?
I'm assuming you're not up there for the view.
You need to get here.
I already told DC Novak. I've no idea what this Foley guy was looking for.
The Beresford was the fifth kitchen he visited on Monday.
Where's that pre-order for 18?
Yeah. They're going to the dry store. We are all out of the Liebeck for Liebeck. Anything for anyone?
Foley didn't go to any others.
So?
Whatever he was looking for, it suggests he found it here.
Well, if he did, he didn't tell me.
6 hours later, he comes back.
And he's thrown out of a 6th-floor bedroom window while I'm down in vodka shots in Cockles.
Did he speak to Terry Quinn when he was here in the afternoon?
Not that I remember.
Well, did he, didn't he?
I told Terry, call security. Foley did a run-off, end all.
What exactly did he say to you?
Well, he's got his dirty boots in my freezer and I told him to do one.
He didn't speak to you at all?
Well, did you mains away? You mains away? We cook your food. We're not bloody telepaths. Look, all due respect, Detective, I've already got 35 covers for lunch and they'll be the same again in the next half hour. Maybe come back later, yeah?
I need this information now, Mr. Baron Kirachek.
And 19 management consultants are expecting 3 courses at 1:30.
You know it's an offence to obstruct police in the course of an investigation.
If you interfere with the work of this kitchen, I promise you, you won't get a quarter of a teaspoon of cooperation from anyone in any kitchen in the whole of Manchester.
Terry Quinn is wanted on suspicion of murder. We have to assume he might be a danger to the public.
Well, he's definitely guilty of leaving me in this shit. Have you seen the gormless idiot the agency sent me? Actually, you know what? If you're going to wander around my kitchen, this needs to go over your ear.
Terry came via a homeless charity.
Where are the ramekins?
In the machine.
Oh, you'll be lucky. I don't think anyone knows what a ramekin is.
We'll use a cup and call it rustic.
Yeah.
Have you got contact we could speak to?
Well, back in the day, we used to take a lot of people from the Stanton Oak Foundation. But since they went down the toilet, something to do with your lot, as I remember. I get all sorts calling me. I think the woman I spoke to was called Christine.
Which charity?
Oh, for God's sake, I don't remember.
Did he have qualifications, catering college?
Well, I guess he'd done some time. Get a fair few ex-cons who pick up pretty solid catering skills. They like to work in the kitchens because they don't need DBS. They don't have any contact with the punters.
You ever speak about that to you?
As long as people do the job, I don't get a plane. Look, Teddy Quinn is one of the best KPs I've had. Punctual, hard-working, got stuff done. So who knows? I did think he might have been ex-military.
Bit of a leap.
You don't learn to organise like that kipping in shop doorways. This guy knew how to run an operation. We've had ex-military before. I like gold dust.
Manic.
Oh, what now?
Roma's property kits, all of them. They're all over the floor.
Steve, to pass. Now.
One more question.
No. Go away.
OK, thanks. You've been really helpful.
20 minutes. Hey, Jolene. What have you got?
So have you decided?
What?
When I rang, you were talking about the wedding, I presume.
Yeah, he's going to do it.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I'd give you a hug, but you'd contaminate us.
I'm feeling the love, Jolene.
I'll put you on the list for a buttonhole.
Please tell me you didn't drag me and John onto the roof of the Beresford to discuss buttonholes.
Behold, one laundry trolley.
That'll explain why we couldn't find it.
Whoever it was dragged it up the stairwell and straight out onto the roof.
Thus avoiding any CCTV.
There are scuff marks on the stairwell wall and here, paint at a matching height. The lining's been stripped out. Presumably they took it with them. I'd be amazed if we find it.
Any prints?
Dozens. But there won't be any of Terry Quinn's.
What makes you so sure?
This.
Bit of plastic bag?
Kitchen glove. It was snagged on the corner of the trolley.
How do you know it's from the kitchen?
It's blue.
Because food isn't blue. So you can see it if any of it gets where it shouldn't. I once got a rocket from some guy who used to be on the local news because he found a little blue finger in his beak Wellington.
And you gave all that up to become a cop?
And he got done for historic child abuse a couple of years ago, so it all worked out in the end.
I thought I told Mike to look up here.
There was nothing on the CCTV from 7.
It's our bad. We got distracted checking out the basement.
What else have we got? I'm getting soaked.
There's a 3-foot gap between this building and those offices on Powell Street.
The roof's the same height.
There are signs of forced entry through the skylight over the solicitors on the top floor. We're still looking for fibres. See if we can get a positive match on the clothes in Quinn's dirty washing basket.
Eleanor, isn't it?
I heard you talking to Chef about Teddy.
Any idea where he might be?
He didn't do this. He can't have done.
If we can find him and talk to him, and you're right, we can rule him out.
I can't imagine him hurting anyone, let alone killing them.
I'm sure you appreciate him disappearing like this. It doesn't look great.
Do you have his mobile number?
Thanks, we've got it. He's unavailable.
I've been trying to ring. Send him 1,000 texts. Don't you have things that can track mobile phones, even if they're off?
You were close to him.
Could we get out of the rain? Sorry, getting a bit soaked there.
It's okay, get your breath back.
When I started here, I'm Greek, and most of them are Polish, I felt a bit of a spare part.
Yeah, that's right, spare part.
Terry and me, we're sort of a team. It makes it fun, you know, when Chef is being a dick and all the Poles are being toady up to him, we just look at each other, it's so funny.
Was it anything more than that, you know, more than just mates?
Oh, what? You know how old he is?
Has he told you much about himself?
He's very shy. He was homeless for a long time. He had a big breakdown.
Yeah, we figured.
Maybe...
What?
Maybe he had a family and he lost them.
Did he tell you that?
No, it was just something about him. He was so sad and he wouldn't ever tell me why, so it had to be something from his past. Maybe something he was ashamed about.
Did you ask him?
A couple of times, but he didn't like it.
Did he get angry?
I think he's a bit paranoid, you know what I mean.
What do you mean by that?
You know, sometimes people who have had a lot of drugs or depression can be like they think the world is out to get them.
That could make him violent.
No. Why do you assume he's killed this person? I mean, maybe someone else killed them and Terry is frightened that he's going to be next.
It's an interesting theory.
Or maybe they want to kill him too.
Is there something you're not telling me?
Why are you treating me like I've done something wrong all of a sudden?
It's not what I said.
He's not well. Don't you understand? He's a good man, so don't hunt him down like a dog. Just find him and make sure he's safe.
Where are we on Foley's business?
Looks pretty kosher so far. One or two minor tax dodges, but nothing that'd get you thrown out of a hotel window. It's a successful, well-run business. He looks after his staff, reputation for reliability. Kind of what you'd expect from a successful career soldier.
I checked the phone number Vicky Foley gave us. It's registered to a Phil Weeks.
Maxwell Foley Solutions business manager. They changed phone providers recently, part of some bulk deal they did. It's legit.
So we're not talking about someone who's got a secret pay-as-you-go?
But...
The call outside the hotel at 16:55...
That was to a pay-as-you-go.
As is the call from the Curry House and two other calls, one lasting 40 seconds, shortly before he goes back into the hotel, timed at 23:01.
This is the point you're telling me that pay-as-you-go Foley called was a cash sim with no CCTV, and it's now completely dead, presumed destroyed.
Sorry, boss.
Triangulation?
We think it was travelling north along the M6, but we can't be sure.
Okay. Sit on that for now. You never know, it might reappear. Mike, where are we up to with Quinn?
Something's not quite right.
Aside from the dead body.
I spoke to the chef.
Baran Kirovchev.
I can say it. For God's sake.
What about him?
Baran Kirovchev's got a cast iron alibi. Witnesses and debit card put him in cockles from 23:30 till after 1 a.m. But he definitely knows more about Foley than he's letting on.
Definitely?
He's evasive about what happened with Foley in the kitchen. And he said something else a bit odd.
Can you pronounce my name?
Sue.
He said if I got heavy with him, he'd make sure we didn't get any cooperation from the other kitchens in the centre of town.
Did you say you were looking?
Not as such. But you can see where I'm going with this.
Baron Kirovchek knows what Foley was looking for.
He swears he doesn't.
But he's implying it's common knowledge around the kitchens.
Then I had Eleanor Vassilou chasing me down. She's adamant Terry can't be our perp.
How adamant?
She got pretty emotional.
You think she's covering for someone?
I don't know. But she had this idea he might be in danger from the same person who killed Foley.
Even with Asadi Kadir naming Quinn as the person who paid him to move the trolley?
With no lining, we've got nothing putting Foley's body in that trolley.
Kadir's adamant he didn't look.
So what was the trolley doing on the roof?
And nothing putting Terry on that roof with it.
Chef had him down as maybe ex-military had done some time. We know our guy is hauling linen trolleys up a stairwell and leaping across seven-storey rooftops.
And if he's ex-military, that ties Quinn in with Foley.
And is he?
Kerry, you were on that.
Not that we can find.
And no prison record?
Nothing on the PNC.
Eleanor had an idea maybe he had a family somewhere, a whole past he wouldn't talk about.
It seems pretty obvious he's changed his name at some point.
Still doesn't put him on that roof.
Disposable kitchen glove?
Nothing tying that to Quinn. Could have been anyone's. We've got nothing putting Terry in the car park or room 608.
So you think Eleanor Vassilou's onto something?
We should bring her in.
If Mike's right, the whole catering community will be buzzing with it.
We've already been round the other kitchens.
But when you go into a kitchen, no one blinks unless chef says so. They've got a stricter hierarchy than your average Nick. We're never going to find a weak link.
Not in the kitchens, we're not.
He's got an idea, I can tell.
It's going to mean a late one.
Cockles?
No one gets there till after clean-up.
Let's poke the nest a bit, see what flies out.
That's wasps, boss. Shouldn't it be? Let's turn the boat over and see what's clinging to the hull.
That's barnacles, Mike.
Pedant.
Alice, are you in there?
Yeah. Dad!
Sorry.
What are you doing here?
I'm on a late, so I thought I'd come and find you. Is that okay?
I suppose, although a lift from school might have been helpful.
Excuse me, what are you doing?
It's all right, he's my dad.
Right, well, let me know if you need any help.
So, what do you think?
It's great, yeah.
You don't like it?
I do.
What don't you like?
It's not about what I like. I mean, what do I know about what 15-year-old girls wear these days?
I want to know what you think.
I'm your dad. I'm hardly the person that give you fashion advice.
Mum would have said.
Would you have taken a blind bit of notice?
Yes.
I don't think so. Which isn't a bad thing.
I want you to tell me what you think.
Alice.
Why don't you do anything I ask?
What? I am. I'm here, aren't I? Look, I know I promised to put a lid on all the overtime.
Stop it!
What? Whatever I'm doing wrong, I'm sorry.
Stop apologising all the time.
Sorry.
Dad!
Is there a problem?
No, go away.
We're fine. Give us a minute.
Oh, this is a stupid idea.
You're gonna have to help me here.
You're not being you.
You're old enough to make your own decisions about what you wear.
But I'm not! I don't want to be. I want Mum to do it. I want Mum to shout at me and tell me I've been brainwashed by over-sexualised images of young women.
Oh, can you imagine me saying anything vaguely like that?
You could try.
Hell, it's... I miss her shouting at me too. I miss her all the time.
Answer.
Give him another 5 minutes.
Sorry. Stuff with Alice. Turned into a long evening.
Everything okay?
Define okay.
We can do this without you, boss.
No. She wanted me to come. She practically kicked me out of the house. Let's go.
We're right in front of it.
This is Cockles.
It's what's known in the trade as an anonymous doorway.
Is it, Mike? What trade would that be?
This is definitely the right place. I mean, there isn't even a label on the buzzer.
Yeah?
Is this Cockles?
Who wants to know?
Police. Can we come in, please?
Camera's up on your left.
There you go.
Are you members?
DCI John Stone.
DI Mike Tanner.
Those aren't membership card.
Can you open the door, please?
Have you got a warrant?
Not yet.
We're making a few inquiries.
This is a private members club. Licensing Act 2003. Police may only enter by invitation, or in pursuit of a felon, or if they suspect a crime is being committed. There's a list. Is it one of those?
And we've got a smart ass.
Hey, I heard that.
It's nothing formal. No one's under suspicion.
You got a payslip?
What?
If you've got a recognised catering industry payslip and someone to vouch for you, I can issue a provisional membership for tonight.
And the rest.
Stop playing silly buggers and open the door.
Before I kick it down.
Or I will be obligated to obtain a warrant if I think you are willfully attempting to obstruct an investigation.
All right. Keep your head on.
I don't have to let you in. You do know that.
You've made that clear.
We appreciate the cooperation.
No one's seen Terry Quinn, if that's what you're thinking.
Is he a friend of yours?
Well, he's been in once or twice. He's not really one of the regulars.
But he was here the night of the incident at the Beresford.
Yeah, definitely. He doesn't say much, but he's got a rep as a demon poker player. So there's always a bit of a buzz around whether anyone's going to take him on.
Are you licensed for gaming?
Which is why I've got to keep an eye on him. The money stuff happens after they leave here, Detective. Scouts on her. He took Mateo Delgado from Sierra Tapas for 300 quid the other week. You think I want that kind of trouble in here?
What time did he arrive?
I wasn't on the door.
Is there a signing-in book?
Not for members.
Is there a signing-in book of any variety?
Probably. Somewhere or other.
What about the camera?
We don't record it.
Oh, I asked.
Do you recognise this man?
Is he the guy who died?
Do you recognise him?
He doesn't ring any bells.
Is it through here?
Wait!
What now?
Can we have the music off, Lynette?
Oh, shit. This isn't going to plan, boss.
Sorry to interrupt, everyone. Just want to introduce you to Detective Chief Inspector...
John Stone. It's okay, we'll take it from here.
He's here with a couple of his colleagues asking about what happened at the Beresford, so let's try and all be as helpful as we can.
Remember that scene in American Werewolf in London?
The one where the guy walks into the pub and there's pentagrams on the wall and everyone turns and stares at them.
That's the one.
Hi, I'm DCI John Stone. I wonder if I could show you a couple of pictures. Any chance you recognise this one?
Hi, I'm Sue. Sue Kelly, Detective Sergeant. Do you guys all work in the same kitchen?
Hi, DI Mike Tanner.
Hi, Laurie.
Laurie?
Laurie Driscoll.
Okay to chat, Laurie.
Sure.
So, as your man said, we're putting the word around, trying to get a better picture of what happened the other night.
I used to work at the Beresford.
Oh, yeah?
Last year. The number of times I've been out in that yard doesn't bear thinking about.
Did you know Terry Quinn?
He started just before I left, overlapped by a week, maybe.
Was Marek Baron Kirovchek chef when you were there?
Oh, yeah.
And?
Actually,
Laurie?
All right.
Hi, Marek.
Should my ears be burning?
Could you give us a minute?
You like these disgusting fruit ciders, don't you, love?
I've got one, thanks.
Well, here's another. Laurie was my star pantry chef detective.
Oh, is that right?
Turns out we're down a couple of staff. You'd be welcome back anytime.
I'm happy where I am, thanks.
I was just talking to my mate Spiro. Laurie's working over at Tabouleh now. You know, that veggie place behind the art gallery. He says things aren't looking too good and they might have to downsize the team. So, the offer's open, if you need it.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm interrupted. I'll let you get on.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So you didn't know Terry very well?
Wasn't until somebody said that I realised it was the same guy. He didn't speak much, but he didn't strike me as someone who'd commit a murder.
We don't know for sure it was him.
Oh, right.
Did you ever see this man?
Who is he?
That's what I'm asking you.
Is he the guy who died?
But you recognise him?
No. Actually, I thought I might have seen him around, but it's not the same guy, sorry.
Are we done?
Some of them knew who he was, I'm sure of it.
I've been to lodge meetings that are more easygoing.
You're not a Freemason, Mike, are you?
No, I just said it for comic effect.
Any luck, Detective?
We've had a lot of very helpful information, thank you.
You think you might find him, Terry?
We can't discuss that.
You got some leads, though.
D.I. Tanner said you were worried Terry might be in danger. If you know something.
You think I wouldn't tell you if I did?
Hi, boss.
Yeah, that's me, Dawn. What time in tomorrow?
Sue, hang on a sec.
John?
I'm not quite sure how to say this.
What is it?
It's about the wedding.
Oh, God, please don't tell me you can't make
it. No, we'll be there. We're really looking forward to it.
John?
You probably worked out that I had a bit of a tricky time with Alice tonight.
Everything okay?
Yeah. Well, until the next time.
It will get better. You're both still picking up the pieces.
That's what I keep telling myself.
Fathers and daughters, eh?
The thing is, no matter how tough things get between us, and it's going to go on being tough, that's guaranteed, I know that if Alice got married and she decided to ask some other guy to walk her down the aisle, it would break me.
Right.
I'm flattered, moved beyond words that you asked me. But I don't want you making a decision that might make your relationship with your dad even worse. You're only going to do this once.
I bloody hope so.
I'd hate to be part of a decision you end up regretting for the rest of your life. Something that makes you and your dad even harder to fix. I'm not saying I won't do it, but I want you to have that conversation with your dad first. Please.
Mike Tanner.
Is this the detective I was speaking to in Cockles?
Sorry, who's this?
Laurie Driscoll. He gave me your card.
Laurie, it's 4 o'clock.
I can't sleep.
I know how you feel.
That bloke, the picture you showed me, Max Foley.
You know him?
I couldn't say anything with Marek there. But when I worked at the Beresford, Marek tried it on with me and I told him to shove it and he sacked me. So I got a job at Taberley and all that about my boss Spiro. That's Marek threatening to have me sacked again if I say anything.
Whatever you tell me will be treated in complete confidence, I promise. Laurie.
I never met that Max Foley myself because Taberley's vegetarian, but every kitchen in Manchester knows what he was after.
Go on.
You know how tight they are at the Beresford? Well, Marek's been taking in dodgy meat, you know, like from poachers. Venison, game, as long as I've known him. So this folly guy finds out people have been nicking stuff off his land and he's worked out the flogging it to kitchens in Manchester. I mean, Marek's not the only one. But apparently Foley's ex-army, so he's not scared of anyone. And he was doing the rounds the other day, warning people off, trying to get some names.
Thank you, Laura. That is really, really helpful.
If Marek finds out it's me who's told you, I'll never get a job in Manchester again. Please don't tell him. Please.
Ties in with what Asadi was saying about being told to shift stuff around and ask no questions.
But you wouldn't take a venison carcass up to a bedroom.
Right now, I wouldn't make any assumptions about anything. Certainly puts Baron Kirovchek in the frame.
He's got a rock-solid alibi.
But from what you said about Laurie Driscoll, he's also got a lot of power in the catering community.
If we bring him in, he'll know it was her. She was genuinely terrified. It wasn't exactly a booty call.
Is that the kind of phone conversation you normally get at 4 a.m, Mike?
If Marek's involved in any way, we need to protect her.
If Foley was following the guys who trashed his car, we should be able to do the same.
He did report it, but Macclesfield Police didn't have enough evidence to proceed.
Talk to them. The local guys will have names, even if there's nothing on file.
What? Nathan's picked up Terry Quinn getting into a grey van on Monday night about 7 o'clock.
Did we get a plate?
Better than that. One grey Vauxhall Movano registered to a Kieran Michaels sitting outside 22 Clovermount in New Mills.
Okay, let's go.
Am I calling fire arms?
Yeah. If this is anything to do with lampers or poachers, they could well be armed. These are not nice people.
See anything?
Net curtains. Here, you try.
You know in those Scandi TV thrillers?
Tag.
They never have curtains. Which is amazing when you consider how cold it gets there.
Probably explains why they always catch the bad guy.
Only after they've killed about 20 people.
Boss?
Mike.
Firearms have a visual on an IC-1 male in the upstairs back bedroom.
Terry Quinn?
No, but he is armed. We think he's got a handgun of some sort.
Shit. Any other movement?
If Quinn's in there, he's not upstairs. There's very little movement.
Get everyone in position, front and rear.
TFU commander's gonna lead.
Let's do it.
Kidding me? National Crime Agency.
Can I get up now, please?
We've got CCTV of a murder suspect getting into the same grey van parked outside this house, registered to Kieran Michaels.
There is no Kieran Michaels.
What?
It's sodding witness protection.
National Crown Agency.
I could say the same of you.
So where is he? Terry Quinn. He's still a suspect. We need to talk to him. Presumably, this is his new safe house. What? What?
He's gone.
What do you mean, he's gone?
He's gone. He's disappeared.
What, into thin air?
He's given us the slip.
Oh, so much for witness protection. You bloody lost him.
Stone, DCI John Stone was played by Hugo Spear, DS Sue Kelly, Deborah McAndrew, and DI Mike Tanner by Craig Cheatham. Eleanor was played by Lizzie Stavrou, Alice by Millie Gibson, Jolene and Vicky by Angela Lonsdale, Ibrahim and Gordon by Peter Singh, and Marek and Joe Myers by William Ash. Stone was created by Danny Brocklehurst. It was written by Martin Jameson and directed by Gary Brown. A BBC Radio Drama North production.